are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the
Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. And if you're watching on our YouTube channel, you know I'm not going to say what I usually say. Usually I say I'm joined by Kevin Durso, but he's not here today. Instead, I am joined by a friend of the show, the one, the only, Ben. How are you, buddy?
Well, good. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. It's good having you back. It's been a while.
It's been a very long time. I think it's since the not this last Christmas episode.
It was the 2019 Christmas special, I believe.
Yeah.
It was the last time you made an appearance here. And I don't believe you've been on since we've gone to video. So how are you?
Oh, my
room. Hello to the YouTube watchers.
Yeah. I mean, my room's a wreck, but I guess I'll live with it for now.
Listen.
You get a nice view of my soon-to-be-fixed Shushko jersey over in that corner.
Okay. You don't see many of them.
No, yeah.
Ben's a jersey guy. If you've heard him on the show before, you know that Ben has some jersey thoughts, and maybe I'll ask you about the Flyers reverse retro later on in the show.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
But before we get into that, we got some games from this week to talk about. Kind of the best of both worlds here, right? We have things to talk about, things to complain about, because there's definitely a lot to complain about. But at the end of the day, the Flyers did go 3-0. They got all 6 points.
Yeah.
So we got the maximum result, but then you and I still have something to complain about on this show. So
plenty.
What did you think about watching the Flyers games this week? Talking specifically about the two games in New Jersey.
So I gotta say, like, you get a level of like how a team is gonna play at the beginning of the season generally. You can see like, hey, these are the strengths, hey, these are the weaknesses. I got to say, the last couple of games, the ones in New Jersey included, the word to look out for is, like, urgency. There's none. There's, like, zero. I was almost shocked. There's, you know, they come out of the gate, and it's like watching your horse at a horse race come in last. Like, you're like, what are you doing? Come on, you know. You watch them. They're not winning all the puck battles. They're literally letting teams just set up. And it's funny because I'm looking on Twitter and I see all these people like, I don't understand how what are we 6-2-1?
The Flyers are in very good shape, honestly, in the division. And
how? I mean, you know, I love them
because we played New Jersey twice.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
we played the Penguins before they got anything figured out, when they were even more of a dumpster fire.
They had to fire Rutherford to figure that out.
No, he quit. That's all. We might even talk about that, because that was a wild story that happened this week out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But the Flyers have played poorly but managed to win, almost in spite of themselves.
Yeah.
And listen, again, they don't ask how, they ask how many. And when you're getting 2 points for a win, they don't really ask how you got it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you'd like to see a team play a little tighter, a team that we kind of expect to be contending deep into the playoffs.
Well, especially they left such a great taste in our mouth from like before. Well, okay. So last playoff run, we didn't do so hot, but at the same time, like there were some excellent things to look at. I mean, obviously you're missing some of your weapons. I mean, Niskanen's not here, and he was like, I was hoping he'd be back this season.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I think everybody was kind of like, you know, you can obviously see the hole that he left and the, you know, really terrible patch job they gave us with Gustafson.
Yeah,
and he's not doing it. He's not.
We'll talk about kind of who has been trying to fill that role, because Phil Myers just came back from injury this evening and looked pretty okay, but
he wasn't really playing on the top pair. He looked exactly like a guy who just came back from injury, which is to be expected. Sure. He's going to take about 2 to 3 games to get his legs underneath him. So
you know what? He's a young kid. He only got a couple of games in before he got hurt. There was no training camp. I expect him. He gets a little bit of a pass from me. He looked ready to go. Yeah. But honestly, I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial. With how well Nate Prosser played on Thursday, I almost would have given Phil Myers the extra day.
You know, to be completely honest with you, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I personally would have probably – I would argue that you could have probably played Myers, but sat – you could have sat somebody else. I mean, again, I truly think that Prosser should be in where Gustafson is. Again, that's just me speaking out, you know, that's just me speaking out of turn, but I think that he looks so good.
He looks good when he looks good.
I mean, yeah. And of course, you know, he's probably got, you know, again, I never seen the guy play very much. So he might have some bad games. But I mean, I guess everybody has like a few bad games. Right. Gustafson has had nothing but. I mean, it's almost like it's not as bad as AMAC because AMAC didn't do anything.
Gustafson had the game where he had the two power play assists, the point shots that ended up getting tipped in. But other than that, you're right. He's kind of been a worse version of Ghost because Ghost has kind of come back and looked pretty good.
I know he is. I'm wearing his jersey tonight.
I know you're a big Ghost fan.
I love it. I love him. Like, honestly, one of the things about Ghost, and that, you know, I watch Flyers Twitter go nuts over him. I barely read Facebook comments anymore because they don't, none of them make sense. Oh,
they're horrible.
Everybody wanted to trade him. And I'm like, look, hold on. I remember the kid who came out swinging in, you know, his first season, racked up 18 goals in, like, out of nowhere. I mean, insane. This kid looked like, it's all confidence based.
He made a Calder run in the second half of the season. Like, it was crazy.
It was nuts. But that's the thing. It's confidence based, and it's weird. He's almost got the mindset of a goaltender. And I can see where a lot of players are like that, where they're like, okay, you know, goaltenders, as Mike would say, goaltenders are psychotic. But at the same time, you know what? You get defensemen where, like, you have a coach who obviously has no trust in you, who has obviously put you in the doghouse. I mean, we now see, I just saw a comment from the Flyers Twitter that basically said, hey, you know, Vigneault said he looked great. He looked like the first year Ghost that we wanted. And I got to tell you, seeing those Ghost bombs from the point, giving me every day, man, I just wish they were a little bit more productive, you know?
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, as he gets better at hitting that, they'll get more productive.
Oh, sure.
He's getting better at finding the time, and he's getting closer. One of these days, they're going to start going bar down again, and Ghost is going to be back to being Ghost.
Well, they got to work on their entry first. I think that's one of the biggest problems I have with the past few games. If we're going to go touch on the past few games.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God. From what I've seen in my unprofessional view, our entry is awful. And there was a huge thing where I forget who they were. I think it was Hockey Analytics or something, broke down all of our stuff with entry and with our zone chemistry and everything. And it was a very interesting read. Again, I'm a stay at home fan. I don't know much about a lot of stats or everything, right. But
yeah, I mean, we're not a huge advanced analytics podcast.
Exactly.
I don't really know what much means.
but this get to the blue line, dump it in, and then hope for the best is getting to the point where, like, I'm waiting for somebody to quarterback it in. Like, I think a couple of times I saw that this past game.
Yeah, I've seen Claude do it a couple times this week. Yeah,
but the only one. Or maybe you get Scott Lawton, or maybe you get Kevin Hayes. But Hayes. I mean, this game, especially this past game that we just saw, they read our plays. That's why we didn't get into the zone, is because they read everything we were doing. We wouldn't
and
blue line, nothing.
Specifically, we're recording Saturday evening in a little bit of a difference from our normal Sunday morning recording time. We're recording Saturday evening after the game. And even talking about tonight's game, the Islanders are a good defensive team. But when they adjust to you, you have to be able to counter-adjust. And that's something that Alain Vigneault has been good at in the past, where the team will come out in the third period and look really, really good. And we saw a little bit of that tonight, I guess. But you want to adjust earlier than that, because the Islanders are just too good, and we haven't really seen them adjust at all. And we need that to start.
Yeah. That sense of, hey, we're doing this wrong, we need to change it. It's almost going back.
You have to be able to fix it mid game.
Exactly. But this almost mimics a lot of what's happening, this whole, you know, rinse, wash, repeat. It's a lot of what happened during Hackstall's days, and nobody wants to see that anymore. Wants to see that. I mean, those were some dark days, and I'm happy we're behind them. But again, you're doomed to repeat history if you don't fix it, and I don't want to see that happen. I won't lie. I love Vigneault. I love what he does. I love his swagger. He's very much a Flyers coach. I mean, he's almost up there in coaches with Lazio.
He's great.
I love him.
He made his impression to me at the Behind the Glass series on NHL Network. Bleeping Flyer speech. Like,
yeah,
come on. That's Philly right there.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You haven't had a coach like that, in my opinion. I mean, Berube was good, but he wasn't
Peter Laviolette.
Exactly. Laviolette was probably yep. when you think back to one of the best Flyers teams in this, like, in this past stretch. I mean, Lavi's team is so good. I don't like Michel Therrien behind the bench, though. I do not want him. I do not like him. I've never liked him as a coach.
Okay.
Never liked him as a coach. I didn't like a lot of things he did when he was with Montreal. I didn't like a lot of the things he's done last year. I mean, some things were doing okay, but I really think they could have probably picked better. In fact, it really stinks because the one coach that we hired while Hackstall was still behind the bench for our power play, the guy from the Erie Otters.
Right.
I think he'd been perfect for this team.
Certainly. So, yeah. A guy with that much experience with the youth would be invaluable with some of the forwards we have playing in the top six, right? You have Travis.
I can't either,
but I know the guy you're talking about.
So,
but either way, the team has to find a way to fix things midstream, and either the coaching staff has to step up on it or the leadership staff on the team has to step up on it. But we've seen this team just look lost in the second period. And we saw that tonight, again, touching a little bit about this Islanders game. You're up 2-0, and I don't know what happens. Like, the shooting stopped, right? Kevin Hayes' shot, they mentioned this on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hayes' shot that went in the first period to give the Flyers a 2-0 lead was their last shot for something like 17 minutes of gameplay.
Exactly, yeah. It's just that to me screams either, I don't want to say lack of leadership, because I'm going to tell you something. If there's anybody who knows leadership on that team, it's Claude Giroux. I mean, right. I see every day people are like, trade him, do this. No, stop it. Claude Giroux, if he doesn't stay a Flyer, I'll burn the city down. But regardless, I think it's you almost have to break it down to a line by line basis. So like, our production, like, it really needs to come to a point where you have a line that, again, I think you and I discussed it briefly before, where it's like you have a specialty line, you have specialties. You really need one that has, like, you got to get in on the four, and you just got to start dumping on the forecheck. And we haven't seen that.
What line it's been? It's been the fourth line.
It's been the fourth line, but it shouldn't be the fourth line. That's what I'm saying, is they need to mix it up, and they need to make, like, okay, fourth line, it should be, usually it's Grinders.
Right, and you kind of see some of that with Nicholas Obey-Kubel. He kind of gets in there and kind of plays that ratty forward, you know, powerful, you know, tries to be in there on the forecheck all the time. Mm-hmm. You saw Bunneman doing that tonight. Raffel, I thought, played a pretty decent game on the forecheck. But overall, you haven't seen it out of your top six. I haven't seen Jake digging around in the corners. I haven't seen Oscar Lindblom digging around in the corners. I haven't seen Kevin Hayes is usually much better about being in the corners. JVR hasn't been doing it over the last couple of games.
Yeah, they're not winning the puck battles.
Exactly. And it's great that your fourth liners are winning them, but you need your goal scorers to win them too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's how you win games. And you know, you can only count on Nicholas Obey-Kubel to score so many. And you can only count on Connor Bunneman to score so many. You got to get some from Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek too.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And you know, it does kind of trickle down from a top-down perspective. Sure. When you have your leadership not doing it, you know, a lot of people are going to mimic that. But you really also need to look at it kind of boils back to just a lot of our zone entry. I hate dump and chase. I hate it. As somebody who plays, okay, and I'm not a professional, but as somebody who plays NHL 21, I don't ever dump and chase. I will carry that thing.
Ben, I'm going to stop you right there, Ben. It's a video game.
I know.
Okay, I get it.
I just don't like, personally, I don't like as much dump and chase as we're seeing. I get it's a part of the game. I wish that's the point where they need to see, like, okay, we need to switch this up.
The thing is, if they're willing to win the puck battles, dump and chase is fine.
But
you dump it in, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to create a puck battle. If you're not winning the puck battle, then why are you dumping and chasing?
Exactly. You're losing your possession time.
Right. You're dumping it in so you can lose a puck battle and have somebody out of position for an odd man rush the other way. Like, you're just asking for trouble.
Exactly. That's where I'm getting at with it. Again, you know, in my uneducated opinion.
Right. So one of the ways we did see Alain Vigneault try to address this, and he juggled some lines around pretty much everybody moved between Thursday's game with the Devils, or between Tuesday's game with the Devils, Thursday's game with the Devils, and Saturday's game with the Islanders. All three games, we saw the lines moving all night, every night.
Yeah.
And one of the things we did see on Saturday, kind of the biggest move Alain Vigneault did this week, even after two wins, by the way, you beat the Devils, Alain Vigneault still felt the need to make a move. And benched Travis Konechny in favor of Samuel Morin, who made his debut on Saturday evening. And listen, if you've listened to this show for a long time, you know that me, hi, hello, this guy right here, I'm a big fan of Sam Morin. I like the way he plays. He seems like a funny kid. I like the guy. I don't know what to tell you. Everybody has prospects that they like more than others. You know, I'm looking at a guy with a Maxim Sushko jersey.
Again, it's going to be a Carter Hart jersey as soon as I get a chance to get to the place.
Yeah, I know. But in the meantime, it's got Sushko on the back.
You don't see any of those. Trust me.
So, you know, that's how I feel about Sam Morin. And to see him playing a month after a position change at 26, after essentially 3 years off due to injury, it feels pretty good to see him come in and look decent. He had no problem ripping a shot from the high circle right away on his first or second shift. He looked pretty decent.
I got to say, you know, his build and his style a lot. I mean, I think what they had an idea for when they first drafted him is they wanted a Chris Pronger again.
They tried to draft Chris Pronger too, and three or four times. And Sam Morin was probably the most prestigious example of that.
Exactly. I mean, he when he steps on the ice, not just because he has my numbers, because I'll let that go, but you notice him. You notice this kid, his lumbering stride. I mean, this kid is huge.
Massive.
And he's you know what? I got to say, he's going to be a gritty forward. I mean, give a shout out to our man Gritty, but he's going to be one of those like grindy forwards who are going to go into the play, and he's going to be the one who's going to lumber you down. Cause he's going to, again, you got a big body. He's going to give a big hit.
Right.
And he might not get a lot of goals. I mean, am I going to say I was super impressed with his beginning tonight? It was good. It was great. I don't have anything, you know, like, oh my gosh, he did some like game changing, but it was good. And I think he's going to be a great either filler for attack. I mean, again, this season, probably a taxi squad filler, but
sure.
I mean, I'm happy to see him play. Like you said, I am happy to see him play.
Yeah. And Kevin mentioned on last week's show that he expected Sam Morin to get in the next dozen games, and it only took three. So sure. Kevin absolutely gets a shout out for nailing that prediction. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see Sam Morin appear in a handful of games. He might even get in as many as 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he played well enough tonight that if he's in the lineup tomorrow, nobody's surprised. Now, I don't necessarily think he will be, because I kind of expect Travis Konechny to draw back in and be fresh on the second half of a back-to-back. And I think that's another reason that you saw him sit tonight. But I think if Sam Morin was in the lineup in favor of, say, a Connor Bunneman or even a Nicholas Obey-Kubel, I don't think I would be all that against it. I think he earned himself the right to try again.
Yeah. No, I agree with you completely. Actually, I'd love to see him back on the ice. I'd love to see what he can do. I want to see him get a little bit more minutes. So we got a sampling size. I don't know what the final total for his minutes were. I think it was like 10.
I think if the Flyers are still up 2-0 in the third period, he's playing a lot more. I think the fact that it's a tie game, it's kind of hard to keep him on the ice just because he doesn't really have the speed and he's going to get burned.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one too.
Especially because he's not used to carrying the puck like a forward needs to be.
Yeah. And he even said, like, he's just got to find himself in position. When he did that midway interview, he even said, like, you know, just trying to find my way through the ice. And again, it's going to take him a couple of games. Like, sure. Trust
he's not,
me.
He's not used to being that far up on the forecheck.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
he's in foreign waters, man.
Then that's part of what I'm actually really excited about, too, is you mentioned that. I mean, he'll fire it from the point. And from the preseason, I remember watching him, and I remember him seeing him. I can't remember what year it was, but he ripped one from the point. And let me tell you, I mean, he'll put some sauce on it, and I love it. And I think that if you put him in literally in the middle of the offensive zone, I mean, you put him in the slot, he's got it.
Right. So I think he's got a real chance. You know how for a long time on the Bruins power play, Zdeno Chara, after Bergeron wins the faceoff, Zdeno Chara just goes directly to the net and just parks his giant goofy ass there.
The best place to put it.
Right. Sam Moran has the ability to fill that role. And he's probably not going to do it on power play one because you got JVR. But I see a world where maybe not this year, but maybe next year, he cracks his way onto the second power play unit, kind of filling that role.
Sure.
I can and see it. It's nice. Okay, so this season specifically, it's nice to have Sam Moran as an option because you don't need a goon necessarily. And that's not necessarily what he is. But the fact that you have an option to bring in the giant dude who has no problem laying the body and fighting if he needs to.
Yeah.
And in a world where you're going to play the Islanders 8 times and you're going to play the Penguins 8 times and you're going to play the Capitals and the Rangers and like you're playing the division 8 times, it's nice to have a guy who can come in and punch Matt Martin in the face.
It is. And you can take Matt Martin's hits, too, because he was obviously...
Oh, Matt Martin ran right at him.
Oh, yeah.
You knew he was on the ice. Right in the first period, he came up and gave him a little shoulder tap. And, hey, buddy, I see you out here. And you watch me, and I'll watch you. And we'll, you know...
Yeah.
And that's we'll go if we have to.
Yeah, and that's the way it's going to go. But, again, having that big body on the ice is a really good thing to have, in my opinion. Again, exactly. Having him out there, being able to throw it around... Not afraid to get in the crease either. I mean, that's great. And we know he's got a shot. Again, I've seen him in preseason, but
for sure. And you don't necessarily need him every night because you can be a speed team. And I think the Flyers kind of want to be a speed team, but you have the option, especially in a season where we're going to see a lot of back-to-backs in the same city.
Hmm.
God forbid something happens in game 1 and you need a little bit of beef in your lineup game 2. Hey, Sam, we got some work for you, buddy.
Completely agree.
And you don't need it every night because, again, you want your talent, right? I'd rather have Travis Konecny in the lineup 99 times out of 100. But when I want Sam Moran, it's nice to be able to have Sam Moran.
No, I agree with you. And, again, I like him.
For sure. And I really hope that he gets another shot soon and that – even if it's not at the expense of a guy like TK, again, I think he did enough that he has earned a shot soon over a guy like Bunneman, for example.
Sure, I can understand that. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question, just a follow-up question. This is like a theory that I thought of like when they first announced this whole thing, when they first announced, hey, we're going to switch him over to left wing. Obviously, you and I were taken aback. Like, that's interesting. Do you think that maybe this is to create him as trade bait in some ways? Because he hasn't had much sample size as a defenseman, and maybe because they're so stacked on the blue line, they thought we can stick him at left wing, and if maybe he's good, we can trade him for
Yeah, see, the thing is, he's 26.
Mm, yeah.
Or 25. He's quite old for a quote-unquote prospect. It was really more about all the blue liners that the Flyers have and who's he jumping at this point, right? He's not jumping Sanheim. He's not jumping Myers. He's not jumping Provorov. He's not jumping Hag, probably. Like, best case scenario, he's Robert Hag, and you already have Robert Hag. So by switching him over to forward, you're just a little bit less deep at forward, kind of moving forward. I didn't mean to say forward that many times, but you know what I mean. But you just give him more of an opportunity to crack your lineup. Because I don't think, like, I don't know. AV's mixed the defensive core around so much that if Sam Moran was a defenseman, he might have gotten in at this point. But like, he probably wouldn't have, because you have Prosser, because you have all these guys kind of floating around. You know, Gustafson's there, Gostis Bear's there. The Flyers have 8 or 9 defensemen at this point. Friedman's floating around. I think they just needed another forward more than they needed another defenseman.
It makes sense. Do you remember when our blue line was like stacked with prospects, and now we're like, oh no, what are we doing?
Well, I mean, we still kind of have that. You still have your guys coming out of college, and you still have like plenty of talent. Cam York is still, you know, sitting in the prospect in the pipeline, and he's going to he's going to be a stellar addition, right? In in 3 years, your top four is very likely to be Provorov, York, Sanheim, Myers.
I'm actually excited for that.
Right. And it's going to feel a lot like the Nashville Predators defensive core that had Ryan Ellis and prime PK Subban and Roman Josi and Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah.
And people are talking about it like it's the best defensive core in the NHL, because it was.
It was.
And the Flyers, I'm not necessarily saying that the Flyers are going to get there, but if these four guys pan out like it looks like they're going to pan out, and I'm pretty confident about Provorov, Sanheim, and Myers at this point. So basically, if York pans out like it looks like he's going to pan out, your defensive core in 3 years is going to be nasty. You know, as long as you have everybody signed and you got Provorov locked up long term already, you've signed Sanheim to a contract. I imagine he'll get another. Same with Myers. You know, York will still be on his ELC at that point. You're looking at a very, very good defensive core. And oh, by the way, you still have Carter Hart behind them. And oh, by the way, look at all this talent up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's true too. I want to go back to just really one quick thing.
For sure, absolutely.
Can I tell you how much like PK Subban looked like awful during his two games?
Yeah, man.
Bad. He does not want to be in New Jersey. I can tell from the way
he like. I see, the thing is, he has fallen off a cliff so radically.
Mm.
It's tough.
Well, you know what? It is, and I also got to say this too. You know what? I really think that. I mean, not to turn this into a thing about PK Subban, but like, he was a huge gleaming. Like, there's something wrong here. He took I don't know how many penalties during that game. And, you know, you got to wonder, like, man, what's going on? I don't think he's produced very much. But, yeah, I just want to say he did not look good. I mean,
I don't think he's particularly happy there. And I don't want to get into personal stuff too much. But he did just go through a pretty public breakup with a pretty public figure. And at a certain point, you have to wonder, on a bad team, it's pretty easy to mail it in when you know you're making big bucks this year and next.
Yeah. Plus, not to mention like a bad team, but like the Devils this year is, I think it's weird to say that, because you look at their prospect pool. I mean, what they had the top two prospects from the past 2 years. Like, what's going on?
I know. And you know what? They got a little unlucky, right? They won the number one pick in a year where there wasn't a Connor McDavid or even a Rasmus Dahlin available. You know, Nico Hischier is just not that. He's a good player, but he's probably not up to that level.
I think we got the better end of that one.
Thank you. We'll see. Nolan is still kind of a question mark after a full year off.
Yeah. And I'm glad he
hasn't exactly lit the world on fire upon returning. He's looked fine, but he hasn't been like incredible. And then a couple of years later, Jack Hughes had a really poor rookie season. And I'm personally not particularly high on Jack Hughes. I've done a lot of research on him for various fantasy leagues that I'm a massive nerd in. But I'm not personally very high on Jack Hughes. And I think they got unlucky again. And another poor, you know, relatively speaking, another poor first overall pick.
Sure.
So on that level, they've gotten fairly unlucky, but they do also have Mackenzie Blackwood, who's very, very good. And they have Damon Severson, who's a very good young defenseman. There are really good young pieces in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But there's not enough of them. And your veteran leadership is like Kyle Palmieri.
I forgot he was even playing.
Right. Who's like, fine.
Yeah.
Like, when I think of a league average NHL player, mm-hmm. I'm kind of thinking of Kyle Palmieri.
Sure. I can see that.
And listen, that's nothing against him. Mm-hmm. I could never in a billion years be an average NHL player. Props to him. But when I think of league average, Kyle Palmieri's kind of right there. He's solid, but not great.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean.
That's kind of your leadership. Because, again, you have PK Subban, who doesn't look like he particularly wants to be a Devil or an NHL player or a hockey player at all, really. And then your forward core is a whole bunch of kids who have only, at the NHL level, only seen a team that sucks.
Yeah. It's very true. I agree on those points.
They'll get there eventually, but I really think Corey Schneider would have been great for this team just to be in the room.
I agree with you on that one. It's good.
The fact that they let him walk is brutal.
Yeah, I don't even know where he's playing now, but what can you do?
He signed somewhere and then retired, so it's not particularly relevant because I don't believe he's playing. But I don't know how we got here. How did we get?
I was talking about PK Subban. I was talking about
We played the Devils this week. Listen, it's fine. All right. While I got you here, Flyers reverse retro jersey.
So at first, I wasn't a big fan. And the reason why is because there are a couple of other designs I would have totally picked over this. There was actually a really cool concept that I saw where they kind of flipped a few things with it. And it was white front, and then it had the orange shoulder. It was really weird. I got to find it again. But it looked a lot better. After seeing it a little bit and after seeing this whole setup, I got to say I'm not hyper on the fence about it. But then again, I'm the same guy who, when they first came out with the anniversary jersey.
You liked gold jerseys, didn't you?
The anniversary jersey?
Gold number jersey. You like that one.
Yeah, I have my Drews in my closet.
Yeah, you have a wrong opinion. Yeah, congratulations.
No, I ended up liking that jersey. And then it's the same with the one that you're wearing, the Stadium Steers. I like it. I think
it's great. I hate that jersey with the gold numbers, dude. It looks so bad.
I love it. I think it looks great. But again, I did the same thing when I first saw it. And then
I just have nightmare flashbacks of 47 reflecting off that gold real bright.
God, this is like nightmares you're never going to get rid of.
I know. Never, ever.
I had the same opinion about the last Stadium Series jerseys and the one that you're wearing too. I didn't like them either, but now I like them.
I loved both Stadium Series jerseys literally immediately.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm really upset that I probably will never be able to find the last year's jersey, like in the Made in Canada version, okay. Like the full, like, cause
you're a jersey nerd. You want them legit.
Oh, I'm trying to get rid of half my jerseys. In fact, if anybody wants to buy some jerseys, you should let me know. But yeah,
Listen, I'll let you plug your stuff at the end. Don't chill now.
It's fine. I'm not going to show. I'm not even going to show that at all. But regardless, jersey wise, again, I want to see him play it. I really want to see it on the ice. I want to see how it looks. I feel like it comes together more. See, that's the thing. People buy these jerseys, and I see them on people, and I'm like, it doesn't look good. But you see it on the kit, like the full kit, it looks great.
I'm still pretty convinced it's just terrible.
Solid 5.5 out of 10 in my out of 10 scale.
I'm legitimately thinking like 1.5 to 2.
Okay, all right.
It's that bad, man. Like it's down there with the chrome logo jersey.
Okay, that jersey is hideous.
That's the worst jersey in Flyers history, and this jersey's close.
Oh my gosh, that was such a bad jersey. Yeah, I actually heard somebody trying to sell one of those and they couldn't, they like lowered it to $50. And I'm like, no, nobody wants that.
No, and it's probably got Michael Hanzus on the back.
No, I don't, I don't remember who it had.
Arian Hatcher was on that team.
man. Yeah, that was a dark period.
Things were ugly in the post JR era.
That's pretty funny though. No, I think one of my favorite jerseys that they had was the black with the white shoulders.
Yeah, really like everybody them. Knows. Everybody knows that the 90s black third jersey is the jersey.
I wish they would have brought it back, to be honest with you.
I was so disappointed because the reverse retro looks like the away jersey from that year. with the white and the black shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like that, but bad.
Yeah.
So like, not only is it so close to that black jersey, it's like that teasing, like they picked the jersey from the same color scheme, but they also screwed it up. Like it was just, it's just bad on top of bad. It's bad in layers for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. I understand it. Again, I have different opinions. I mean, people like it. A lot of people on Twitter bought it and they're like, ah, and again, my jerseyness is like, don't buy it from Fanatics.
No, I decided my next one is going to be a home, just like a regular home orange, because I don't have any of those right now.
Now, if I can offer a bit of advice to you and to whoever decides, you know, sure, whoever wants to take this advice.
Yeah, we can have a little bit of a jersey segment here. Yeah.
The reason why is because you're also talking to somebody who used to work for a distributor for Fanatics. So I'm going to tell you right now, Fanatics is an awful company. Okay. I mean, I won't get in trouble for saying this. I don't work for that company anymore. Right. Yeah, do not buy from Fanatics. If you can do anything, if you can go online, you can find a few places to buy. There are a couple of eBay shops that are really good. If you're going to buy a jersey, do not buy a replica. Do your research.
Yeah.
Buy a made in Canada. That's all I got to say. If you buy a made in Canada jersey, you're going to get your money's worth.
You're not going to have any problems.
Nope. That's my jersey buying tip.
Okay. We know that when it comes to hockey jerseys,
you know,
Ben's the answer. Like, if you guys don't know, at Benny the Jet 55 on Twitter, we'll throw that out at the end of the show too.
Yeah, and if you have any questions on if a jersey's not real, or you're not really sure if you want to get this one, or if you think it's a little too expensive, I'm not an expert, but I will tell you.
If you have any questions in the world about pipe cleaners
or pipe cleaners, but no, seriously, if you have any questions on if it's a legit or if it's a good price, and you have no idea, please just, you can shoot me a tweet. I don't care.
All right, let's circle back to the Flyers.
Circle back to the Flyers.
Looking ahead, we got a couple of games against Boston. Right. And Boston, basically, since they played the Flyers last, have kind of figured it out. I believe they lost to – yeah, they did lose to the Capitals today in overtime, but they were down 3-0 in that game and clawed it all the way back to overtime. The Bruins are no joke.
Yeah, no, they're actually really good this year, which is shocking.
They figured it out against the Flyers a little bit. It's kind of when it clicked in, when the Flyers blew that 3-1 lead in the third period to lose that game in overtime last Thursday. That was kind of when the Bruins clicked it all into place, and they kind of been rolling since. The Flyers can stop them if the right team shows up. You know, we've kind of talked about all show what team is showing up, the team that wants to play or the team that doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
And if the team that wants to play shows up, they can hang with Boston, right? We've seen it.
Personally, I agree. I mean, honestly, when it comes down, if they can, in my opinion, if they can neutralize their top weapons, I'm talking like their number one unit, because you go down the list of their site of their lines, it's not that they're bad. It's that you see the most of their production from their first line.
So much of their offense comes from Bergeron and Marchand, and whenever Pastrnak comes back, I think he's getting close. You know, if he comes back, obviously he adds a whole nother layer of threat. They're a good team.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with
they're
you.
They're a good line.
They really need to neutralize them, and they need to keep a forecheck going. That's like one of their biggest things that I wish they could just continue to do. Keep a forecheck, stay in the zone, set up. Even if you don't set up, fire a few pucks on net and try to see if you can catch some rebounds. Like, that's where they really need to catch this Boston team, especially against Rask. Because I think we've seen it in the past couple of times when we played them last year. He actually doesn't – like, he does well in some rebounds, but if he doesn't control where the rebound goes, or if it's a bad bounce somewhere,
right,
he's out. Like, boom, it's in.
And their defensive core is still not great. Like, it's still Matt Grizzlick and Brendan Carlo trying to figure things out over there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get in there and pepper them with shots, and again, you got Rask giving up some rebounds, you can win puck battles in the slot against this defensive core.
Yeah.
That's how you generate chances.
Yeah. Well, one of the things they also need to do is they need to bring back, because we saw them beat a very similar Boston team, you know, last year, right before, like when they did that like game stretch, that round robin.
Yeah.
We saw them beat this team, and they did that by doing exactly what I was just saying. They got in there, they buzzed early. And what they also did, which is something that they also haven't been doing, is that neutral zone shutdown.
Yeah.
Which I think they need to, they really need to bring that back.
They've fallen back to the blue line, and it's just not, teams are going to break through. And if you have two layers of defense, right? If you have the red line and the blue line, you got a better chance.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're all lining up at the blue line and they're getting busted through like bowling pins, and it's just, you're giving yourself, you're putting yourself in a corner.
Yeah.
Right off the start.
Yeah. Agreed. And that's something that they need to fix. They need to bring back that neutral zone shutdown, become that team that was like one of the least scored on or shots on goal teams. Like, you remember that statistic they talked about the other day? Be that team again. Be the team where it's hard to score on.
Especially when they're up a couple of goals. Because I feel like that was definitely the factor tonight, is they took their foot off the gas pedal. And it's pretty easy at that point for the other team to put their foot on the gas pedal and catch you. And by the time you realize they catch you and put your foot back on the gas pedal, they're already gone.
Because they'll see it. Oh, they'll see that completely. I mean, they did. They saw that. They took advantage of it. They set up in the zone at least twice in one period without a power play.
Right. And again, that's kind of what led to the Flyers going 17 minutes without a shot.
Yeah.
And you're lucky it didn't burn you. And if the Islanders had more than just Matt Barzal, it probably would have burned you tonight.
And yeah, I agree with you.
Barzal had a couple of great opportunities. But if they had players with a little more talent, if Anders Lee had a little bit better of a shot, if some of these guys, if Leo Komarov had a better shot, if Leo Komarov is a more talented scorer, sorry, Leo, but if Leo's a more talented scorer, he finishes that little 2-on-1 there in the third period. You know the one I'm talking about.
Exactly what you're talking about.
And if that's the case, all of a sudden, the Islanders are in the lead, homie. Now you're playing from behind. Now you're playing catch up. Now you're struggling to get, you know, back in the game.
Yeah. And it's difficult too when you have players like Mayfield who are becoming prolific a little bit and who
aren't. Yeah. He was a problem tonight.
He was. I mean, honestly, this dude, I remember seeing him when he was on the Bridgeport Tigers, I think it's the Bridgeport Tigers, when he used to come into town in Cleveland to see the AHL games. I remember seeing him. He wasn't a blip on a radar. Like, no. He didn't play that high, and he cracked the roster this year. Good for him. Or last year, whenever he cracked the roster, and like he's been
looking good.
He's been put on some points. It's kind of crazy.
But scored tonight.
He did. They need to watch that though. And he had a couple of good chances. They need to watch those guys too, because I just feel like when they sit back on their heels and they let the teams come over and run them over, that's the player who's going to score. I don't know if you've noticed this either.
Absolutely.
It's those players who don't score very often. It's those players who will sit, who either it's their first NHL point, it's the ones they don't pay attention to. And they need
when
to
the defense playing. Backs off a little bit, takes them a little lightly.
And that's what kills us. I there's a lot of points that we can adjust. Yep. And that's definitely one of them.
Yeah. And sometimes when you have a younger team, this is the kind of thing that can happen, right? You have a little bit of cockiness. Oh, this guy sucks. I can take him. I can take this shift off a little bit. Then all of a sudden the guys buy in, burying at top shelf.
Exactly. Exactly. And we've seen that.
Right. And that's one of those things that you get burned enough times and eventually you stop letting that guy buy you.
Mm-hmm.
And Alain Vigneault, if it was a regular season and you had a little more time between games, I think you'd be seeing some bag skates.
Oh, sure.
Because the efforts have been pretty poor at times.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're pacing any team in the division other than New Jersey, you probably lose at least one of the two games this week.
Agreed.
If Alain Vigneault had the luxury of bag skating this team, he probably would. I would imagine at this point, he's probably not, just because your schedule is so compacted.
Yeah.
But you got to see the effort.
You do. You're not wrong. You got to see the effort. You got to see these players actually step up. And I really think that if they start seeing that spark, if they just start seeing that little bit of like, let's get going again, it's that small defensive move where you see, like, again, in this game, I saw at least three or four times where the advancing the advancing player would get past our defenseman because our defenseman was just either skating real slow, he was tired, he didn't care. But if you have that spark, if you're like, all right, I got to push this extra bit of energy to get right to the puck, create a battle, win it, get it out of the zone, you won't have them set up.
Yep.
Anders Lee blew by Sandheim, sometime in the third period, right by him and pulled him right off the puck. And he did a good job of it. And it's like, you got to stop that.
Right, and I think Sandheim was the end of the shift, so he might have had a little bit of an excuse there. But either way, in the third period, you got to be able to dig deep and get that guy off the puck, or at least, you know, make it messy so you can get a little bit of support.
Yeah.
But hopefully, again, you'll see things kind of tighten up because Alain Vigneault has proven that he's willing to make changes. He's willing to make pretty radical changes. Again, we talked about Travis Konecny a little bit earlier in the show.
He's
willing to juggle people around. He's willing to sit people. We saw the fourth line almost the whole third period on Thursday. They were out there the whole third period because they were the only line that cared. And it was pretty clear, and Alain Vigneault gave them the shifts that they deserved, honestly. Yeah.
He'll reward players.
Exactly. And hopefully you see things tighten up as players realize that if they don't step up, they're going to ship out. And Kevin's talked a lot on this show about, you know, players taking accountability here because it's time. And we've had coaches take accountability and GMs take accountability. And it's time for players to take some accountability and step up or ship out. And I'm not saying Travis Konecny's out the door, obviously, but I don't think Alain Vigneault is too. I don't think Alain Vigneault would fight Chuck Fletcher to keep anybody. If Chuck Fletcher came and said, "I have a deal for Travis Konecny," and Alain Vigneault says, "Does it make my team better now?" Chuck Fletcher says, "Yes." I think Alain Vigneault lets him go.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like
Alain Vigneault wants to win.
And I know a lot of people were sitting there on Twitter going, "Why are you sitting Konecny?" I get it. I understand why they sat him. It's not even the fact that he's playing terribly. Like, terribly is, like, again, if you want to talk about a player playing terribly, that's Gustafsson. But again, that's a different thing. Sitting Konecny is sitting somebody who obviously has produced. I mean, he's what is he, lead the team in goals right now? He's got 5 goals.
Tied for second in the league in goals. He's got 5. The league lead is 6.
Exactly. And you know what? Sitting him sends a message. And obviously, the message worked through the first period. It worked to the first period.
You saw the jump,
and you saw it. And you know what? Those are the Flyers that I wanted. That's the team that. Then they got to be a six. They got to be a full 90-minute, you know, team. They got to play a
60-minute game.
I said 60 minutes, and they said 90, and I don't know why.
Well, Evan, they got to be ready. They got to be ready for 15 minutes during warm-ups and then overtime and shootout, just in case.
Well, you know what they do? I mean, obviously they showed up because Scotty Lawton has an amazing mustache, but. Right. Actually, no, is because Shane Gostisbehere had a really good defensive play. And I got to say, again, I am a Shane Gostisbehere fan. I do like him, but he has really stepped up these past couple of games.
Definitely. And I'm super excited to see how he plays against Boston because he was not in the lineup for the last set against Boston, or he wasn't looking as good as he currently is. He's definitely stepped his game up recently. And I'm excited to see how he looks against Boston. Mm-hmm. And you will be able to hear me talk about those Boston games on the post game here on the YouTube channel at YWT Podcast. Make sure to follow us over on Twitter at YWT Podcast too. Let me get the little scroll up here. And it's got all our things on it. If you're watching the YouTube channel, we're at YWT Podcast. The show can be found everywhere. Facebook, iTunes, Podbean, all your podcasts. Years, you know, etc. We're on YouTube, we're on Amazon Podcast, we're on sportstalkphilly.com. Don't forget to follow them at sportstalkphl. Kevin's not here today, but he's at Kevin_Durso. Ben is at Benny the Jet 55. We're gonna throw that out there if you have your jersey questions, or if you want to yell at him for all the stupid stuff he said. I'm sure he said stupid stuff at some point.
I probably have said some terrible things. I mean, this is my first podcast in years, man. I'm rusty.
Well, listen, I think you've done a fantastic job, and I would love for you to come back as soon as humanly possible.
Oh, I appreciate that. I really do. I guess I'll have to. I guess I'll have to start jumping on this and giving you more of a hard time. Maybe I'll drop back for old time's sake.
For sure. You're welcome on anytime. Before we get out of here, is there anything you wanted to, you good?
Yeah, thanks for inviting me in. You know, it great talking about this stuff, especially, you know, I live in Cleveland, so not many people talk hockey with.
No, I imagine there's not a whole lot of
nothing.
You and I frequently joke that nobody wants to live in Cleveland.
Nobody wants to live in Cleveland. That's my
all right. Well, let's make like a LeBron and get out of here.
Okay, actually.
All right. All right. We'll see you folks next week.